broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We have the power to compel them to come back here.
I ended up being a slave.
The heart attack grill diet is not for everyone.
They were all really nice.
Wow. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We've got high definition and smoking hot video. Well, it's smoking hot, but it is our high definition video cast each and every night. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Listen to this guy, man.
I'm still hopeful at this.
No, that ain't it. Naturally, that wouldn't be it. Here it is.
We have the power to compel them.
That is right out of The Exorcist. All right, 877-876-PHIL. That is an amazing piece of audio there.
What did the guy say?
He says, we have the power. It sounded to me like it was Father Marin in the Exorcist.
We have the power to compel them.
The power of Christ will compel you. And welcome back to our program, 877-876-PHIL, and also our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of the show, as well as our archives. We got it all going on, man. So check it out at philhendryshow.com. And we also, of course, with a backstage pass, give you the opportunity to listen to a podcast of this show. Although about tonight's show, I can't guarantee anything. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, move on.
No, I ain't going to move on. No, I'm not moving on. No, I'm not moving on. You guys always tell me, move on. No, I'm going to get it out of my system. This show tonight, oh, Lord.
Yeah, well, that old lady.
No, not the old lady. I mean, when I got one of my guests telling me, your listeners are so old, I shouldn't even be talking about sex with them. And then we get that giggling old bag calling up and saying, I had sex last night. I thought I was going to vomit.
Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't put that...
I thought I was going to vomit up when I heard that. That's all I needed, man, from Chris Norton. Talking about sheening. But I will say one thing for Charlie Sheen, and this is a God's honest truth. I admire that guy. Now, I know that he said this Chaim Levine thing, and one of my listeners emailed me, which, by the way, if you want a guaranteed email response from me, you must email me via our website. You go to the website, go to the homepage, go to email, hit that. If you're a subscriber, then you can email me. Man, if you're a subscriber, you can comment on our comments section. We've closed the comments on the front page, and we open them up from the second page on back. But the front page comment section is closed. But that doesn't mean you can go to the second page and start, commenting to your heart's content. But you have to be a subscriber to the website. Now, if you are, you can also get guaranteed email response from me. So I'm talking to one of my guys, and he says to me that this guy, Chuck Lorre, the producer, the showrunner for Two and a Half Men, he had sent out something called a vanity card. Do you know what that is?
Uh-oh.
Bud?
I never heard of that.
Well, in short, this guy claims that Mr. Lorre referred to himself jokingly as Chaim Levine. Now, what happened with this guy Sheen is he's on the Alex Jones show, and he said, yeah, Chaim Levine, ha, ha, ha. And so we all felt, I did, and I'm sure a great many people, wow, what a anti-Semite mocking the guy's Jewish faith, race, the whole thing by calling him Chaim. Turned out that was a name that Mr. Lorre,
Yeah, his name is Levine.
Mr. Lorre, which is what he prefers to be called. You understand?
Yeah, but if that's his name.
I don't know what his name is. No, it isn't his name. That's a joke.
He's joking around, man. Oh.
Yo. Yeah, oh. In any event, that's a name that Mr. Lorre was mocking himself with. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true. There were some comments made by Brooke Mueller. Or Mueller, or Mulehouse, or whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah, I think it's Mueller.
Mueller? Boy, I thought I butchered it.
No, it's Mueller.
Mueller, all right. Mueller. Anyway, there were some comments from her saying that's not exactly, and this is according to Rance, that's not too far from the truth. I mean, this guy has, at home, made some comments that were, decidedly derogatory about Jews. By the way, a vanity card is a production logo used by movie studios and television production companies to brand what they produce. Lorre would include messages on the variety card at the end of Two and a Half Men, and I guess one of them had to do with Chaim Levine. So he was, Sheen, was making fun of that.
Yeah, his name's Sheen. That's against Jews.
What is?
His, the name Sheen.
No, it's not, bud, you idiot.
No, man, it's not that. That's not how it's spelled. Oh, you mean...
Don't say it. Now, Brooke Mueller said that Sheen texted her an insult about his, quote, stupid Jew pig manager. That's what she's claiming. And we could very well say that he was joking and that it's shared by the manager. Don't you think?
Yes, man. But, I mean, what guy's going to like that? I'd be like, if you had a black manager and you called him your N-word manager... He ain't gonna like that, man. I don't care how tight you are with him.
You mean I couldn't have a black manager? I couldn't say, now I gotta call up my N-word manager?
No way.
Well, then I won't hire him. I'm kidding. So it may very well be that Charlie Sheen is an anti-Semite. If that's the case, I still love him. No, I'm kidding. If that's the case, then I would have to abandon all hope, ye who enter here. I would say the following thing, though. No, if that's the case, then the guy's got some problems, because I always feel that anybody that is a bigot to that extent has got some problems that they're not dealing with. So they can talk all they want about how powerful they are or how they're winning or how it's, what do they call it? What's his latest thing?
Plan better.
There's all these hashtags flying around about Charlie Sheen. Plan better, winning, sheening, sheen on it, stuff like that. So I figure a guy's going to have some personality problems if he is talking that way. And whatever else he says, therefore, has to be taken with a grain of salt. I'm not going to listen to a guy talk about how you got to be winning, how you have to be, how you have to be living in the moment, how you have to just really believe in your power while he is knocking Jews or blacks or anything else. There's some kind of there's a warp there. If, on the other hand, this is all a big fat joke, then I'm saying I dig this guy. And I the reason why I dug him more than anything else, like I said in the video cast in our pre-show, and I say on the air, is because Charlie Sheen talks about the broadcasting, the television business, the way I talk about the radio business. For what it's worth, I am told the following people are Jews who work for Charlie Sheen. His ex-publicist was... His entertainment attorney, his litigation attorney, and his divorce attorney, all Jews.
We have the power to compel them.
All right. So I think that what the guy was saying was a very good message. And I loved how he was calling those cats out, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't call that guy. I don't know. How did he call them out, you know?
Well, he was saying basically the guy is mucking around with the process. You know, Sheen was on this Piers Morgan show. He was saying, yes, that's true. I was very extreme. I was, you know, I had a couple of, coming to the set late. You know, I showed up. I was probably not in the best shape. I talked to Les Moonves. He talked to the head of CBS who came to his house. I talked to Les about it. I said, yes, boss, I will do what you asked me to do. So he smoothed it out with the guy that runs the network.
Who's that?
This guy, Les Moonves.
Les what?
Well, you never mind, bud. So he smoothed it out with that guy. And his beef here with Chuck Lorre had, I think, to do with the pressure that he's putting on the process, or the pressure that he was putting on Charlie Sheen, or the fact that he's interrupting the creative flow, or what have you. Now, I'm watching him on Piers Morgan tonight, and this guy is a hell of a lot more in control than he was in that Alex Jones interview. That Alex Jones interview sounded like the cat. He had two straws, one in each nostril, and one of those big damn Ajax containers of Coke. I don't know.
Well... I mean, nobody, you don't know. I mean, he might have, like they said, had a manic episode or something like that.
I don't know what a manic episode is. That sounds like a cop-out.
It's a real thing, man. If a guy's manic depressive, or bipolar, he has a real episode. Anyway, so when he started busting down on that cat, I said, well, that's, I like that. I like that because I can relate to that. I understand what he's talking about. I know what he means. I know that there are people involved in, if you're doing any kind of a creative effort, there are people, some, not all, but some, who got their job you don't know how. I mean, you don't know why. They just happen to have the job. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about what it is you do. They somehow have veto power over what you do. They exercise that veto power in the most ridiculous, asinine, and destructive ways. When you protest it, they only have one gear, which is threaten you. And knowing that, you know, this is it, man. This is all I, this is my life. This is what I've created. And you complain and they threaten you. And knowing that that's going to mess with the head of the talent, like a guy like Sheen, who goes off on a coke bender. At least Phil Henry, you know, I don't have any of those vices. The only vice I have is a, you know, extreme rage, which I...
one of these days you're going to kill somebody.
Nah, I ain't going to kill nobody. But they know it, too. I'm serious when I tell you this. They know this, and they manipulate it. Don't ever, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just a, human being who's been in the professional life long enough to know that there are bosses and managers and executives in this business... radio, television, movies, whatever you want to call it, who purposefully manipulate moods, who purposefully try to piss off the talent, who purposefully try to see how far they can push people, because if they can get them into a negative reaction, they win. They've got a lawsuit or they've got a legal threat. And the idea of threatening talent with all of these legal threats, when you don't know how to handle people, when you don't know how to talk to people like a civilized human being, when you don't know how to communicate with people, when you don't know anything about the creative process, when you don't know anything at all about how they do their show, whether it's a TV show or a radio show or any other kind of show, and the only thing you know how to do is threaten, or ignore, then, you know, karma's a bitch, man. You know?
Say that again.
Karma is a bitch. Because what goes around comes around, and you can't keep visiting that kind of abuse on people without it eventually just tearing your own ass down. So I liked what Sheen was saying. But like I said, you're going to have to do some research on that, bud.
What are you looking at?
Find out whether he hates Jews, okay?
You got it.
All right, 877.
Otherwise, man, you're off Charlie Sheen, huh?
Otherwise, I'm climbing off of Charlie Sheen, if you'll, excuse the... excuse the reference. 877-876-Phil, 877-876. What am I saying? Yeah, 877-876-7445. Gas prices soar, as in S-O-A-R, but my producer wrote gas prices soar, S-O-R-E, meaning the gas prices are pissed off that they're too high. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What is this? Is this Friday? Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. So Maria is getting back tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning from, guess where?
Yeah, but you're in India, right?
India, man.
Are you picking her up?
I'm going to get her at the Bradley terminal there at LA International Airport. These intermittent texts from her, and I might even have a text from her because I know that she was going to text me again from Tokyo. But, dude, you got to hear about this trip.
I mean, she went to India like India.
Well, what other kind of India is there?
What do you think you talk about, India?
I mean, India like the India, like India.
Yeah, India. What the hell do you think I'm talking about?
I thought you were talking about Indian, and she went to an Indian reservation or something.
No, you're an idiot. You dumb.
You shut up, man. I'll deal with it.
Hey, man.
You never heard what he said or anything?
Bud, you're just as stupid sometimes, so don't... Yeah, India. India, not Indian reservation, India.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's the thing. And the whole, it's an amazing thing. And I'm going to tell you something right now, man, that her stamina and her patience, well, it is far and away, I mean, light years ahead of mine. And I think that my audience can understand, especially those who share the video cast with me each and every night, You guys, can you imagine me on the, and I'm going to describe this trip. Now, first of all, I want to say that the people at Rotary Club, at Rotary International here in the United States, and Rotary here in California, and I don't know anything about Rotary. I had to look it up on Wikipedia. Of course, I've heard of Rotary Club my whole life, but I didn't really know what those guys did, you know?
Yeah, what's the one that they call Kiwani or
Kiwanis?
Kiwanis is the same. Kiwanis came after Rotary Club. It's kind of the same idea. The Kiwanis is smaller. It's international, but it's not quite as big. But it's the same idea. It's business people who are involved in service. So all of these businesses, and generally they're small businesses, medium businesses, and large, get together and they come up with ideas how they can be in service, be of service to the community of the world. And it's a very laudable thing. I mean, it's a fantastic thing. And they're involved in education. And in this trip, this is a push by Rotary International to inoculate kids in India under the age of 5 from polio.
You better give them a shot.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm just asking, man.
Yes, give them a shot. You didn't know, did you?
No.
Inoculate. Give them a shot. So, but here's the thing that just absolutely floors me. So I took her to the airport 3 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, you thought your car got stolen.
I thought my car got stolen, exactly. I took her to the airport. She flies to Tokyo, and they spent, I think, 3 days, her and her friend, they spent 3 days hanging out, or 3 or 4 days hanging out in Tokyo. Then they went down to Bangkok, and I got a couple of texts from her. She rode on an elephant, and that sounded like a trip, and some other stuff. She was on a boat. They went down some rivers and everything. It sounded kind of trippy, and she said it was hotter than hell. And she said that, you know, rooming with somebody, because that was the whole Rotary thing. You know, you're rooming with people. She said that's a drag because, you know, this woman was up. The woman she was rooming with was like up at 4:30 in the morning. But in any event, she flies on to Delhi, and they spent a few days in New Delhi, and then they went into their cars and they took off. So there's 6 people to a car, and they take off and drive for 5 hours, man, out into the hinterlands of India.
That's where all like all the poor people live.
All the poor people, man. And the thing she was telling me about New Delhi, she said the air is filthy. You can taste it. You can smell it. You can see it. She said, but the city is rather beautiful. There are beautiful beautiful boulevards, trees. And then you get onto the expressway or the freeway, and on the median, the freeway median, are little children begging, you know. And then you get out into the countryside. There's no toilet. Forget about toilets, you know.
What are you used for toilet paper?
Probably got to use your hand, right?
Your hand? Look, man, nobody is that primitive, okay? Probably, I don't know, pages from a TV guide.
No, they got TV?
I don't know. I'm making a joke. But anyway, that's where they went, and for 3 weeks. And she now is returning. She left yesterday. It's actually tomorrow. In fact, if I had my phone with me, I could tell you exactly what time it is in Tokyo right now. And I think she has taken off. No, not yet. I think she's still in Tokyo, but pretty soon. And in any event, she's flying crammed into... I'm a big guy, so I fly first class. I'm sorry. I will spend the extra money. I can't cram my ass into coach. No way, no way, no way, baby. Mm-mm.
Yeah, she's flying in coach, though.
She's flying in coach, 3 across, can't sleep, can't nothing, and 25 hours in an airplane from New Delhi to L.A. Now, not all of it in an airplane. Some of it's layover time, but if you think about it, I think she did 5 hours from New Delhi to Singapore. Singapore to Tokyo is another 5 hours. Then there's another 11 hours from Tokyo to L.A. So what are the 21 hours, something like that? Plus the layover time, 25 hours.
Wow.
And she's now in Tokyo. I had to check the phone and see. But she was telling me that, and I'll get the whole goods on it. She was out in the hinterlands of India as they went, and they were literally going door to door, just like the Rotary Club does. They had their little yellow jackets on, polio vaccination program, knocking on doors and saying, hi, we're here to, you know, do you have any children that are 5 years old? And the people don't know how old their kids are. Some of them don't. So they would have the kid reach over his head and touch his ear like you were doing, bud, because you didn't know you're five.
Ha ha! You didn't know you're five.
I was just trying it out.
You think you can touch your ear? Yeah, I think you can. So what are you doing it for?
To see him.
Yeah.
So that's what they did, and they just got back to New Delhi yesterday, and I had a... maybe I'll go upstairs and get the phone, maybe not. I don't know if I'm motivated enough, but we'll find out just exactly if she's taken off yet from Tokyo. I'll read the latest message. We'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, I don't know. I mean, welcome back to our show. Now I got a whole other thing going on here. I'm trying to figure out how it is, and this is, shows you how bright I am. I'm trying to figure out how it is she's leaving Singapore at 9:45 in the morning on the 5th, which is technically today. And what time? You know what you should do is find out what time it is in Singapore right now, bud.
Okay, where's that?
Singapore is in Singapore. It's in the... It's in Asia, man, Southeast Asia.
All right, you want to know what?
What time is it in Singapore? She's leaving Singapore at 9:45.
What time is she going to get here?
She's going to get here at 11:15, which means she's leaving in the daytime, in the morning. You know what I think it is? She's going to be flying into the night and then coming out of the night. Yeah, that's it.
What? What are you talking about?
She's going to be flying... Taking off at 9:45. What? Yeah, taking off at 9:45 in the morning in Singapore. It's now 4:30 in the afternoon in Singapore. She's going to be taking off at 9:30 in the morning. Flying,
man. You got to lay down. You know, you just have to lay down, man. There comes a time when you...
Are you listening to me when I talk about international dateline?
Yeah, but you gotta lay down.
I don't need to lay down, man. There's an international dateline.
What's that mean?
It means basically the following thing. That they're in tomorrow, and you can still... Now, don't start getting all trippy on me, man, and going, ooh, well, tomorrow? It ain't no time traveling thing, okay?
All right.
You'll take off in the morning, you'll go overnight, and you'll land in the morning, but you have not lost a day, I think. But that all depends on what time it really is in Singapore, not what Rance just put up there, which I don't... I'm kidding. I'm sure that it's accurate. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And if there's, you know, anybody with a telephone listening to us, that'd be... I'm just kidding. Laughable to some, stocks plunge as gas prices jump. Up 17 cents overnight in New Jersey. Why is that laughable? Well, I don't know. Gas prices have recorded their biggest one-week increase since Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The national average is $3.38 per gallon, an increase of 19 cents over the previous week and 68 cents from last year. So we're up almost a dollar in terms of the average price of a gallon of gas. ABC News caught up with residents in Raleigh, North Carolina, who are shocked at the soaring gas prices.
$54, and my reaction is still like, wow. Wow. That's a lot of money, $54.
It was about $3.19, and today $3.49, so it's a dramatic jump, I'd say.
I had to park my van this morning. I couldn't even afford to make it to work. Like, I mean, my boss is going to come pick me up, so that's how it affected me.
All right, so anyway, the national average, $3.38 per gallon. I don't know. There's just a bunch of people who think the price of gas sucks. Yes, of course it does.
How much costs you to fill up your tank?
It cost me, like she said, $54, cost me close to $60.
Wow.
The national average is $3.38 per gallon, an increase of 19 cents over the previous week, 68 cents from the previous year. It was enough to inspire pranksters to modify a gas station price to read LOL, alluding to the surprise that commuters often feel when they fill up at the pump. That's not a surprise. That's laugh out loud. In the U.S., how much pain at the pump drivers feel may depend upon three factors: location, 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 as they say in real estate. In Orlando, Florida, two gas stations that are the closest to the airport and across the street from each other are selling regularly at $5.29 and $5.19 a gallon. So the price of gas is getting up there. And one of the reasons for this is the instability in Libya. And so people will say to you that we must get to alternative forms of energy, but we've had instability in the Middle East for years and years and years. We've tried to be peaceful and sweet and calm about it. I don't remember America invading the Middle East at all over all those years, other than the fact that we had Marines part of a peacekeeping force, and they were murdered. And, of course, there are those that would say, well, the United States doesn't have to invade because the CIA, the CIA, the CIA. That's always the response when you say to someone, I haven't seen the United States interdicting anywhere militarily. Well, the CIA, they're like God, man. The CIA, they're just like God Almighty. They got more power than God. They can be anywhere. They always was and they always will be. But in any event, because that's where we get our oil, that's why it's expensive. And even people that don't want us being in the Middle East militarily and think that we're nothing but a bunch of war criminals, even those bastards still drive cars that depend on oil and gasoline and all that stuff. And when I say those bastards, I do mean they're okay. So that's the price of gas, man. So what do you want me to tell you? It's a bad thing.
What about that Volt?
What about the Volt? I got into an argument with a guy on Twitter. Not an argument, but I made a comment to a guy on Twitter last night. And here, the guy was had this automatic response. And this is what I avoid. And this is probably why where talk radio has gone, which is the left-right thing, is it's destroyed talk radio. The left-right thing has destroyed talk radio. It's destroyed radio. You know, left-right, Sean Hannity or Ed Schultz, that's destroyed radio. It's destroyed media. I can't even, there's no way that you can even begin to fathom how much it's done in terms of damage. First of all, it's basically an emotional kind of radio, which means that it spikes emotion, it spikes people's feeling. It looks like it's easy to sell. I mean, it gets a lot of people listening, and any kind of radio that's entertaining is going to get a lot of people to listen. But if you are only focused on one kind, which is the stuff that, you know, Sean and Ed and those guys do, then the morons that sell radio, they just say, well, we need more of that. And so the morons that run our business have decided that is the kind of radio that they feel they want to do. It is absolutely, it's just gutted. It's gutted this industry. There's no more any discussion about whether or not a guy does a good show. It's all about whether or not a guy's a conservative or a liberal. And this is actively supported by the imbeciles that run this industry. And I mean that literally. When I say imbecile, I mean that. Okay. So Phil Hendry comes on here and I say the following thing. I'm a conservative, but you know, part of being a conservative means I want a business to run right, man. And if it isn't, I'm going to fire that son of a bitch and I'm going to put somebody else in there. What do you think of that? Is that a good way of going or not? Or is that too harsh? I thought being a conservative is all about business. Now let's take the EV1. I heard people say this last night. I couldn't believe my ears. It was on TV. They were talking about the EV because they were talking about the new Volt, the Chevy Volt, which is a GM car, which they're pushing now. And they said the following thing. Now, GM had the Volt. But, of course, this is something anybody that's got a brain in their head knew. GM had the EV1. GM had the EV1 back in 98, 99, but they didn't invest any energy or production into it because they had their sights set on trucks. In other words, they had their sights set on something that was not going to be selling indefinitely. In fact, they were going to see a huge drop-off in the sale of trucks because the sale of fuel is so, you know, purchasing fuel is so expensive. But do you think these guys at GM thought about that? Would you think about that? If you're running a business, do any of you people out there that run businesses, do you think of the future? Do you ever think about what will be the best thing to sell a year down the road or 2 years down the road? Do you think that that at all has anything to do with America? Or is that all a bunch of commie stuff? Because if you talk to a guy like, oh, let's just call Sean, who's a great guy, Sean Hannity, those guys are so invested in being conservatives and they're so afraid of losing their jobs that they'll somehow find a way to tell you that planning for the future, that is getting rid of truck sales and investing more in, say, alternative energy cars, that's commie. It's more American to invest in producing a vehicle that nobody's going to want, that's going to be too expensive to fuel up, that's going to be basically a pink elephant after a few years. It's way more American to do that. Take your beating like a man, lose your money, lose your ass, but at least you're a good conservative businessman? No, no, that's not how that game is. That's not how it goes. But do you understand that that's what you're supposed to believe? I'm sitting here tonight, right now, on the West Coast, 12:45. I got more brains in my head on this topic than you name it, man. Mark Levine, Sean Hannity, all of them put together. But because we got to sit here and play this asinine political game of political talk that the broadcasting interests, the broadcasting executives of this country have thrown shoved and kicked down your throat because they're too freaking lazy to sell or produce anything else, I have to sit here with a straight face and I got to somehow find a way to say to you the following thing. Rick Wagner deciding to crap can the EV1 in 1999 was really a good idea. And Obama firing him, which Obama didn't do, all he said was, you don't get to have any money if you got that stupid bastard running your company. But you know, you're not allowed to hear that point of view, folks. You gotta hear it the way Sean says it. You gotta hear it the way Levine says it. Levine, listen to this one, man. What you're supposed to believe is the following thing. You're supposed to say, firing an incompetent jackass is a bad liberal thing to do. Keeping that dumbass employed while he crap cans the EV1, tries to sell a bunch of gas guzzlers and can't do it, and then eventually the company is near bankruptcy, that's a good thing to do. That's smart. You're supposed to believe that, folks. You know why? Because to believe the other means that you have to somehow be an Obama supporter. How that works, I don't know. That means you have to say it was a good thing that Rick Wagner got fired. Well, it was. Did Obama fire him? Now, if you want the truth, it's the following thing. You don't get any money, GM, if you've got that dumbass running your company. That's what it was. You don't have to take our money. So you're forced to believe the following thing. Firing Rick Wagner was bad, even though he proved himself an incompetent moron running that company. I mean, nobody in their right mind, including Rick Wagner, by the way, who took full responsibility for not only that, but crap canning one other car that was a great success story. And not that the EV1 was, but it was the beginning of something that they now find themselves having to restart now. Rick Wagner also got rid of the Saturn. Saturn was a out-of-the-box hit. Rick Wagner, so stupid, he got rid of that too. But we can't call Rick Wagner stupid. If we do, we're called liberals and progressives because Rick Wagner was, quote, fired by Obama. The truth? No, he wasn't fired by Obama. But even if he was, you could say this is a conservative. Hell, at least there's one smart thing Obama did. I understand government's not supposed to be involved in business, but when that business comes to government and asks for money, yes, it is. That doesn't take a brain surgeon. A 5-year-old could figure that out. But I can't say that on the radio, and neither can anybody else that calls himself a conservative, because if you do, you're going against the philosophy that Rick Wagner is a great guy, and Obama fired a great guy, and therefore Mark Levine and Sean Hannity and the rest of those empty-headed guys, well, they wouldn't see you as a conservative, so therefore you're not. And that means the rest of the radio industry, all of these guys that run these radio stations that call themselves conservatives, who don't care about content, don't care about talent, don't care about the quality of a radio show. They just want conservative, conservative, conservative. If Mark Levine or Sean Hannity or anybody else tells them what a conservative is a guy that thinks Rick Wagner is a solid, smart businessman for crap canning two, not one, but two fantastic automotive ideas within the span of 15 years. Well, that's what you're supposed to believe. I'm asking you guys a question in all seriousness, and if you can answer it any way you want, but you got to answer it honestly. Now, nobody's listening. I don't have you on the air. You're sitting there by yourselves. Do you honestly believe that just because Obama might have made one smart move in his entire career as a president, that that makes you a liberal? Do you really believe that? Do you think firing the incompetent head of a company? Let's forget about whether it was Obama that did it. Let's say the damn board did it. Let's say they said, you know what, Rick, we've had enough of your fumbling and bumbling and screwing this company up. You're fired. Does that make you a liberal? Last night on Twitter, I said the EV1 was a great idea. I test drove an EV1. It was a fantastic car. It was fast. It was quiet. It was beautiful. And if they'd continue to work on it, it would have been a full, it would have been a full production line model and probably selling very handsomely right now. But they got rid of it because they wanted trucks. And I said last night, the Volt, the Chevy Volt, it looks like crap, which it does. And I don't know, for all I know, it's junk. What happened to the EV1? I said, Wagner crap canned it. Nice move, Rick. And some jackass comes on and says, yeah, that's what happens when government gets involved in running automobile companies. The government wasn't running the company. Rick Wagner was. Rick Wagner crap canned the Saturn, crap canned EV1, ran GM into the ground. Somebody walked up who happened to be a Democrat by the name of Obama. It could have been a Republican, and said, if you want our money, get rid of that guy. So they did. Best move they've made in 20 years. And that makes you a liberal if you think that's a good move. Because it's a move Obama made. That's where this country is right now. That's not a liberal problem. That ain't a conservative problem. That's a stupid problem. That's just a whole lot of stupid people. Starting with the talk show hosts of America that call themselves conservative or liberal. These are some of the dumbest bastards that have ever been allowed near a microphone. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I mean, I told a story, didn't I?
You told it one time.
Welcome back here to world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, I told this story a million times. I guess it's worth a million and one. But, we were on the air one night. This is back in 99, 98. And we were talking about how this was during the Intifada, blah, blah, blah. And that was the Palestinian uprising. It was before 9/11, before all that stuff. But we were saying, God, you know, this is just a nasty part of the world. When are we going to, you know, that's the thing that's always driven me nuts about this show. Today's weird story is a Phil Henry Show bit from 3 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And now, talking about electric cars, man, we were on the air rapping about how the Middle East was a toilet bowl, and we couldn't keep pulling oil out of the ground over there. And what are we going to do about alternative forms of energy? We were actually rapping about that, and we got into the whole electric car thing, and we started talking about the EV because we'd heard that it was available for lease, but it was available for lease in just limited places. And sure enough, guys from GM call us up. They were the, I don't know, they were the research arm or the EV arm of GM, and they offered to bring one over to the station. We were here locally in Los Angeles at KFI at the time, and I took it home and drove this thing, and Jonah Weiland, who was our producer at the time, had it, and he drove it, and it was just fantastic. It was quiet. You talk about quick.
How quick would you say?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember the exact. It was like from 0 to 60 in something unbelievable, man. 2.5, 3 seconds?
Are you kidding?
I mean, I'm not. It just, as soon as you hit the accelerator, it just, bam, jumped. And not a sound. Not a sound. Now, the problem with it was lots of batteries, and the batteries were all in what we would call the drivetrain on a regular internal combustion, you know, operated or motivated or, you know, a locomoted car. So, in other words, right down the middle of the chassis. But it was quick, man. And then the other thing is you had to plug it in someplace, you know. Well, if you stop at some stores nowadays, they have these electrical things.
Yeah, it's called a plug.
I know it's called a plug.
Why can't you plug it into your house?
No, man, you need something bigger. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, when I say something bigger, I'm sure you...
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Rick Johnson, and our associate producer Dan Northcraft, philhendryshow.com, high-def video archives, our blog, direct access to me via email. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Well, we'll be back on Monday, and we will keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it, man, until we get this thing right. Until then, Sheen, baby, Sheen. Sheen. Sheening.
Phil Hendry.